As I was preparing for this sermon this morning, this week, I stumbled over an article in the Journal for Psychology. There was an article in there that was the headline that made me read this article, "The Science Behind the Joy of Sharing Joy." The Science Behind the Joy of Sharing Joy. In this article, Dr. Emmer Cepala points out that we actually all have positive experiences every day. We all have positive experiences every single day. However, we rarely take full advantage of them. She says that it's usually what we focus on three times more than on positive experiences are the negative ones. So three times more, we just tend to focus on the negative instead of the positive. And she gives two reasons for that. And again, it's a scientific study. There's a whole bunch of data with this. I just spare you all of this. But two things that she says comes out of this. First is the negativity bias and habituation. Negativity bias, she says, we tend to remember and focus on negative experiences more than on positive ones. One harsh word from someone and one bad news may outweigh anything good that we have experienced. And I think we can all attest to that. It just takes one word from someone that makes us miserable, in spite of all good things that we have experienced up to this point. And the second one is habituation. She writes, although we get a boost out of happiness from new positive experiences, over time we get used to these experiences and they no longer have the effect. So she writes, we get used to good experiences and it's almost like we are addicted to that. We need to get more and more and bigger ones in order for them to have the effect that they will make us happy. And then later in this article, she points out some studies that have confirmed that if we would enter into this habit of keeping track of the good experiences that we made during a day, that it will lift up our mood. And they made these studies with people that they asked them to, at the end of the day, always write down at least 5 or 10 different good experiences that they made this day. And it lifts their mood. And then she adds, and if they now start sharing that with somebody else, their partner, their friend, it even elevates their mood even higher. And she says this is fact. And there's not a Christian research. It's just the fact that they say if we making an effort to remember the good things and then make an effort to share that with someone else, that on average, it helps us to fight bad feelings and even depression. That's interesting. And today we talk about sharing the joy I have. Sharing the joy I have. So before we can dive into this, we have to answer several questions because they just come up. The first question would be, what is joy? What is joy? I have to know what it is in order to know what to share. The other question that we would have to ask is, how can we actually share joy? Is this actually possible? But anyhow, let's dive into this with the time that we have and think a little bit about this. So what is joy, really? Joy is a feeling that we would all agree. That's a feeling. It's something that we feel somehow. We would locate that in our scientific mind, in the heart. You know, joy is something that I feel in my heart. We say that. But what is this? First of all, it's good to eliminate what joy is not. And that helps us sometimes to focus on what joy really is. Joy is not happiness. We probably would agree with that if we start thinking a little bit more about it. Joy is not really happiness, although they are connected. Happiness is a fruit out of true joy, but it is not the same. Happiness is more like connected with our environment in which we live and with experience that we have, people that we are with, stuff that we have that may give us happiness. Happiness is external. Has to do with the people, places, things, thoughts that we may have, and that may cause happiness in me. But we also would say that happiness is really, if you think about it, not really joy. Joy is somehow a little bit more, a little bit deeper than that. And again, it is together, it hangs together, it works together, but not the same. Secondly, we also have to say that joy is not pleasure. Joy is not pleasure, although it's again a part of joy. You know, it brings me joy if I have pleasure in something. We live in Christmas, Advent, Christmas season, and I guess we have all the pleasure of eating good food. And it's a pleasure. I love good food. I love this Christmas cooking and baking and the smells and everything that is attached to that. It's just awesome. It's pleasure. And it brings me pleasure. Or it's also the season where we go to concerts. And I heard that some of you were in concerts yesterday. So attending a good concert, if you love good music, it's a pleasure. It's just this moment that you experience where it lifts your spirit, it lifts your heart, but it's certainly not lasting. It's not something that goes with you. That's changing maybe even the same day when you go home. So joy is not all of that. So what is joy? What is real joy if we look for that? And I have solicited the help of somebody who is way smarter than I am, an author that I've often referred to and like what he has done in his thinking, and that's Dallas Willard. And he writes the following. Joy is a pervasive sense of overall well-being. Joy is a pervasive sense of overall well-being. It's not just a thought. It is a sensation of my heart. Joy, a pervasive sense of overall well-being. All is well. And that's what he describes joy is. Joy is this kind of thing that is just in me when I know it is well. Everything is well, and I experience this feeling of being well and everything is well. That joy is closely attached to that. But when we talk about the feeling of joy, we also have to mention that we cannot directly access this feeling. If I would tell you today, be joyful, just turn the switch and be joyful right now, you would look at me pretty puzzled and say, so how am I going to do this? I don't feel like that. And probably not. I mean, there's stuff going on in your life, and maybe this past week, right now in your life, maybe you think about the future, many thoughts that are in your life that are not really be joyful, and you would ask me, so how can I now be joyful? And we know, we cannot directly access this feeling. We cannot manipulate this feeling. We cannot want it, and then it's there. We have to think of this in terms of how we achieve it by other disciplines, by other ways how this can be created in me, that I do sense joy. It is a product of something. That joy is the end result, the fruit, how the Bible often talks about this. It's one of the things, the joy is fruit of the Spirit, is a result of something, not something that I produce in itself. It's something that comes out of something else. There's joy coming out of it. That's when this feeling of well-being is there. So saying this feeling of well-being needs something else that creates it, that I can feel that way. And the question is, what is it? What needs to be there that I feel well, deeply well, that is pervasive in all that I am? What needs to be there? And I speak to us as followers of Jesus Christ. And the first thing we would say is to that is, joy thrives in the environment of God's purposeful love. Joy thrives in an environment of God's purposeful love. So it has to do with what I in my heart can perceive and believe. And again, we talk about people who have an introduction to God, who know who God is and have an idea who God is and read about God. And if we study God and read about Him, this is one of the things that we discover when we read the Bible, that this kind of a God is a loving God who is presently reigning in this universe And even to the effect that all the things that are happening, and that's often sometimes hard to believe, but that all the things that are happening are working together for our good. It's a text that we find in Romans 8:28. We have heard it probably in other contexts, but Paul writes about this. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. This is a lot to swallow. This is something we have to chew on. But that's where it boils down to. If we say that joy is this sense of well-being, that all is well, then we know it has to have a context. Because my life may not look like this right now. It may be chaotic. It may be painful. It may be all kinds of things that I'm experiencing in my heart. So that prevents me from really experiencing this joy. And I ask myself, how can I get there? How can I experience this joy? And here it is. It only thrives in an environment of God's purposeful love that I can grasp in my heart and in my mind, that the God that I serve, the God that revealed Himself in the Bible, in Jesus Christ, is this kind of God who reigns. And He reigns in such a way that He leads all things to its purpose. That this world is not a chaotic world. And there is a major difference here that we talk about those people who believe in this kind of God and those who not. Because for many, this world is just a closed system. It just functions according to the laws of nature. It's how the sun rises and goes down. And that's how things happen. It's just by coincidence. There's no greater power or anything else that seems to manipulate this. While we as followers of Jesus Christ know that there is God who created this universe. That this universe is not just floating around in nowhere, but that it is actually filled with the presence of God. This entire universe. There is no empty space in this universe per se. There is God as the Spirit who is reigning all over. And this is the God that the Bible introduces to us. This God who interacts with this world. The God who speaks to people. The God who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. So that we had a visible example of who God is. And in Jesus Christ, He has also then taught us who this God is. And we have just heard this text that Pastor George read in Scripture. Where He talks about this source of joy. It is rooted in this environment of God's pervasive love. And out of that, we have to say now that it is not just that we know that this world is not just out of control and chaotic, and that even my own life is not just out of control, that God is still present, even though I might not understand it, I might not see it, I might not feel it. But from my view that I have, what the Bible tells me that this is true, that He is still there and still involved, comes a second step that we need to take in order for this joy to experience it. And that is that we need to abide in Christ. Joy is the fruit of our abiding in Christ. So Jesus, or the Bible tells us, it takes also my participation in what God is doing so that all this comes to fruition. It's not just Christianity, it's not just passivity that I sit there and pray and God, please fill me with your joy and fill me up with this. God always takes us into His work and helps us to participate, enables us to participate in what He's doing. God created us in human beings who have the capability to think. What a great gift it is that you can think. That in your mind you can be physically here and you're already at home. I mean, what a thing. It marvels me that we can do this. You're physically here, but your mind is somewhere else, wondering. But you can also choose to be here and listening and following. And see, this is what we have as a capability. You have the capability to choose what you think and what you dwell on. You can do this. Thinking is not just floating around and I can't help it and 1,000 thoughts come into my mind. Yes, you have the capability to know what you think. And then it says the joy is now the fruit of abiding in Christ, of choosing to put myself under Christ, under His reign, under His rule, that I submit to Jesus Christ, to His words, to the principles of life that He offers us, that I submit to them. Jesus says the following in John 15, 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So Jesus says, just after he talked about the wine and the branches and how important it is that these are connected for them to bring fruit. And he talks and makes the practical application of that. If you now abide in me, if you stay in me, if you submit to my words, to the words that Jesus has taught in the Bible, if you just live under them, then you will be filled with joy. Then joy is something that is the consequence of this abiding in you, a sense of well-being. If in my heart I can grasp that my Father loves me, he cares for me, he is all powerful, even in the most impossible situations that I find myself in, he's still there as the God of all power, and I can rest in them. And they said that your joy may be full. It's his intention. That joy is really the all-pervasive feeling in my heart. That it's full, that my heart is full, that it drives out all the other emotions that could destroy them. Joy is the Christian emotion that we should have in our lives. We can find texts in Old and New Testament where it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You Bible know, you know this. Now, Nehemiah says this. That's our strength. When this joy fills my heart, my life, it is my strength to face animosity, to face difficulties. Jesus mentions the similar words in John 17 when he prays the last time here on earth. He says, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus wants for you to be filled with joy, that you're filled and full with this, and not with happiness. Not only with pleasure, although that is part of this, but that you are filled with joy, that you are filled with a deep sense of well-being. All is well. And that has to do with my faith. Whether I can grasp that all is well. Why? Because my Father is in control. See, it's like a child. No, a child is often, and we know when it's a small child, you know, it becomes very irritated if the parents are not there, if it would be left alone. But how much confidence it gains out of the fact if the father is there, the mother is there. And all is well, especially when there's uncertain situation or situation that the child has never been exposed to. What a difference it makes if the dad is there, if mom is there. All is well. I can go through this. Joy then, to say it in other words, is our constant delight in Christ and his unlimited resources. Joy in the end is delighting in Christ. Delighting in Christ. And here we come to something that is so easily said, so hard to experience. But because, especially in our Western world, we have come to enjoy God's gift. We have come to enjoy his blessings. And we even have developed almost a theology of entitlement of God's blessings. You know, God needs to bless us. God needs to get me out of this problem. God needs to change my situation. God needs to do this and that. And God, why does this happen to me? Are we familiar with those thinkings, those thoughts? We are dependent and addicted to God's blessings. And if God strips them away, and if this, he allows this to happen in our lives, that blessings are stripped away and we face suffering. We face something pain. Then we wonder, where is God in all of this? But let's think of what we said. Joy is delight in what? In whom? In Christ. I had this week the opportunity to speak with someone that we know well who goes through a very difficult time. And we had this conversation. When God strips things away, my health, some abilities, sometimes relationships that were good and all of a sudden fall apart, he strips this away. And we cry and we whine, and often rightly so. And in my conversation with this person, he said, how hard is it now to sing that Christ is all that I need? But I want to learn that. Enjoying Christ. That's when we have joy. Enjoying Christ. How can we describe this? I mentioned that in another context with our grandson now. I know if you have grandkids, if you're not yet, it's the best thing in the world. Grandkids, I wish I had them first. grandkids are great. So the other day, our daughter came over with our grandson, and it was not really expected. You just came by. And guess what happens in a grandparent and granddad? I dropped everything I had. I just saw him walking, tunneling there down the through the door. Woo, he's there. And I just enjoyed him being there. What did he do to bring me joy? Nothing. He just came in. He just appeared. And my heart was full of joy. I was just, wow, my whole life changed. My whole day was different. Can you imagine that God rejoices in you that same way? He just walks through the door and he would drop everything and embraces you. And all there is between you and him, you just enjoy each other's presence. That's all you do. You haven't done nothing. You do nothing. You just enjoy the presence. That's where joy rests, enjoying him. But as you mentioned earlier, we also participate in our joy. And that has to do with what we allow our mind to dwell on. And sometimes we are caught in three ways. We sometimes are caught in our past. We think of our past or what happened in our past, what we all did or not did, and all the past opportunities and the past hurts and the past pain and everything in the past that happened. And we are stuck there and mull over this and think about this and are not ready to receive Christ because our mind is in the past. The same way as our mind often is stuck in the future or what might happen tomorrow. The things that I cannot control, which give me fear and anxiety. So what would happen if I meet this and this person? How is it going to be with my work? How is it going to be this and that? And my heart is caught in anxieties and fears and I can't get break out of this. Or I'm stuck in the present with my present problems. They seem to be so overwhelming. The mountain's so high. I will never be able to climb the mountain and get through and past this. Life is hopeless and we're stuck in this. How difficult it is then to break through and says, my Father is there. I'm not walking alone. He is the one who dealt with my past. He's the one who's going to be there tomorrow. And he's standing with me right now in my battles, right in front of the hills that I have to climb. And he has his arm around me and says, I'll walk with you. Let's go together. Let's manage this together. I will not leave you alone. It is for this reason that Paul can write, rejoice in the Lord always, because we have to have this mindset. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because Christ is here. He walks with you. In the same context, a couple of verses later, he talks about the fact how worries can come in and how we deal with that. And that we'll talk about it, God willing, next Sunday. But rejoice in the Lord, because he is with you and walks with you. And now we have to speed up this morning a little bit. But sharing this, that joy is also something that God wants so badly for us that he sent a helper to work in us on his behalf that we will find this joy. And this is the Holy Spirit. That he sent him to us to remind us of his words, to work in us that what we cannot do, to draw us always back to Christ, that we will long for him, that we'll go back to him. The Holy Spirit who works in us and to such an extent that he is the one who is pulling and tugging in our hearts to bring us back to where we should be and where we belong. The Bible says, Paul says later on, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. To the people in Thessalonica who were facing trouble sometimes, persecution, to a great extent, he writes to them, and you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy can thrive in difficulties. And although it sounds like an oxymoron, but joy can be experienced in grief. Joy can be experienced in grief. If our hearts and minds are anchored in this truth, that I live in a world that is dominated and reigned by an all-loving God who is in control. Joy is all-pervasive if my faith can be anchored in this. And now the challenge is sharing this joy. Sharing this joy. Remember the article that I referred to before? Remember what you said about sharing joy, the joy of sharing joy? And I think here is the secret. Joy is not only that we bring joy to somebody else by doing something good, which in the end is not joy, it is love. You know, it's an expression of love. And we heard about this. Pastor George talked about this. You know how love, loving others, brings eventually them joy. You know, because by doing good. And that's part of what we're doing during the Christmas season, that we are challenged to do good. But for this week, I would like to challenge us to do actually what this psychologist challenged them to do, and to do it in our Christian way and the Christian form that we can do, because we want to share the joy that I have. So the joy that I have just by walking and living with Christ. Why don't you do every night, every evening, sit down and write at least one thing down that was good today. I talked this week again with a couple who is going through a very difficult time, and I shared a little bit what I'm going to preach today. And then she mentioned, well, I'm doing that already. I said, oh, really? Well, we have a joy book. Oh, really? So I was just blown away. Yeah, I have a joy book. Every day in the evening, we sit down and we write down the things that were good today. And those are not the great earth-shaking things where God has moved the world. It is those tiny little things. God, today I'm so thankful that although it's bitter cold outside, I have a warm place to live. Today I'm thankful that I could text or talk with one of my children. That was a good conversation. Today I'm thankful that my boss gave me a bonus. Great. But you know what I mean? Those little things. So I challenge you every day this week. End the day with that. And the second challenge is share it. Because in the article it says it heightens the mood. Share that. You know what I observed, and that's probably also part of this article, was, you know, if you just watch our conversations, what's usually the content of our conversation? Oh, the weather is too cold today. It's just lousy cold. Horrible. How can we live in Alberta? And on, you know, negative. We talk about negative things, and that fills our conversations. How about really making it an effort to share joy? Today, I just had a wonderful thought. Today, something in the Bible really spoke to me. Can I just share it with you? And guess what? If we share joy, it changes others. It changes their mood. It helps them to refocus. It brings light into their world. So this week, this is your challenge. First, I would think it is important that you understand for yourself, do you have this joy in Christ? What's blocking it? What thoughts are so pervasive in you that you cannot get through this? To understand that your Father loves you and that He's there for you. No matter how complicated your situation is, that He is with you in that situation without always giving explanations and quick solutions. Could it be that He is stripping things away from you so that you enjoy Him? That He's drawing you to Himself? Could it be? And then end the day with writing down what good things God has given. Maybe there are some good things in a day that is also worthwhile sharing. Let's try this and focus on Him who is the source of all joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all joy. And you are joyful not because you force yourself to be that way. It's simply because all is well within you. All is well. And you have taken efforts, Father, to share this kind of wellness with us. When we come before you, there is floods of joy. We're in the presence of joy. You are a joyful God who just enjoys our presence as much as you want us to enjoy your presence. Father, in this Advent season, you know much better than we do what we feel and what situation we find ourselves. Whether those mountains seem so high that we can't seem to even start climbing them or mastering them. Father, we know that joy rests in faith. Faith that you are the all-powerful God who reigns. And I pray that this sense may come over us as we contemplate you, as we seek you. God, and even if we walk through difficult times this season, I pray that this may draw us to you, that we seek your presence, seek your face, seek your embrace, and find our strength in you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And then let us focus, God, each day on the good things that you provide, the good things that you bless us with, that we often receive so undeserved. Let this be the tone of our mood as we enter into the rest of this Advent season. This we pray in your name. Amen.